This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sam Harrison. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, Chris. Very nice to be here.
Excellent. We're in Sam's Riverside Kitchen in Hammersmith, right on the Thames River.
Right on the river. Not a bad spot here, Chris. Yeah, no, we're rather pleased with our view here.
Yeah, no, it's a nice view. Nice view. And there's even the bucolic rowers sailing past as we look. As an ex-rower, I appreciate it.
I love the river. And whatever time of day, there's always some activity and it's continually changing. It's a sort of a wonderful landscape to be next to.
The reason we're here is I spoke to Neville Abrahams. In fact, I think last week's show should have been about Neville and talking about training. And I asked Neville about who he thought was doing training really well. Not just product training like WST, but management training and just bringing people through. And he just said, you, Sam Harrison, this is the guy you want to talk to. So here we are.
Wow, that's kind words from Neville and someone who I have a huge amount of respect for. Yeah, I take as a independent restaurant owner, I take the training and development of my team very seriously because without them, I wouldn't have a business.
Mm. So what we're going to talk about today is talk about training and staff and all that type of things. But before we do that, let's understand your business because it's not just a single restaurant. And talk about yourself first because I understand you got into the restaurant trade or you started your first restaurant, Harrison's in Balham. Is that your first place?
It wasn't actually, Chris. That was number two. I opened my first one was Sam's Brasserie in Chiswick. Amazingly, nearly 20 years ago in 2005. But actually, as we're going to talk about training and development, but before that, most of my experience and most of where I learned about running restaurants was I ran Rick and Jill Stein's restaurants in Padstow when their business was the seafood restaurant and other bits in Padstow and before they expanded out of Cornwall. And Rick and Jill basically took me under their wings and they trained and developed me in my 20s. And I think that's always stayed with me. And they inspired me to go on to open my own places, but also in the way of management, leadership and developing people. So then I opened my first restaurant with Rick very kindly backed me in 2005. We had Sam's Brasserie, and then 2 years later, we opened Harrison's in Balham. We had those for 10 years and then we sold them. I thought maybe for a while I was getting out of the restaurant game. And then this site came along I looked at it in 2018. We opened in 2019, 5 years ago, next week. And at the time, I thought I was just going to do one restaurant, focus on one restaurant, and really enjoy that. And then a little thing called COVID came along. The world changed. Some other opportunities came along. And somehow we now have 6 different hospitality sites in West London. Here in Hammersmith, we have the main restaurant, Sam's Riverside. Behind us, we have a little cafe called Sam's Kitchen. We have a shop called Sam's Larder, which is a little food deli shop. And then in Chiswick, we have another Sam's Kitchen, a cafe again, which morphs into something else in the evening. And then our latest, newest openings in Brentford, further west, we have another big restaurant called Sam's Waterside and another Sam's Larder deli shop. So somehow in 5 years, we've gone to 6 sites. We have 130 staff on the payroll now. It's become a lovely journey and a bit of a beast of an operation. But luckily for me, they're very close relatively. From here, Hammersmith to Brentford, I can be there 22 minutes on my bicycle. I have operated and served a guest in 6 sites on the same day, which is very important. You know, I like to be hands-on, and I think that's very important for my team as well.
Funny you say bicycle in 22 minutes. That's because it takes about 4 hours to drive.
It does. the A4 gridlock and the new cycle lane is an absolute gem. So thank you to, I think it's Hounslow Council for making my life a bit easier.
Okay, so you started out running restaurants in Cornwall with Rick Stein and got your training there. And now you've got quite a large staff, 6 sites, different types of business as well. As you said, you've got your larders, which are delis. And then you've got your kitchens, which seem to be the main type of restaurant.
The two main restaurants are Sam's Riverside and Sam's Waterside. They are big, large brasseries.
Yeah.
I mean, where we're sitting today, Sam's Riverside, we do nearly 2,000 covers a week. Mm-hmm. On a busy Saturday, we do 200 for lunch, maybe 240 for dinner. The kitchens are two small cafes,
mm-hmm.
and they are much more breakfast, brunch, great eggs Benedict, great scrambled eggs and smoked salmon, great coffee. And so they're different styles, they're different price points, but fundamentally they're all based around the same. And, you know, I'm very proud of our food in all of our operations. One of the reasons my name is above the door is because I want the guests to know that we are privately owned, that we are independent, and there is someone called Sam.
Yeah.
And there is someone who cares. And a lot of the time that is me. I was working in my Chiswick venue last night. I'm working in there tonight. But if it's not me, it'll be someone who has been trained to deliver the same sort of hospitality and cares, and is probably better at the job than I am, to be honest. And that's very important to me, because I think there are lots of restaurants across London and lots of hospitality venues delivering amazing food or beautiful design or a fabulous concept, whatever that is. But I personally believe that hospitality has sometimes been neglected. And I think a lot of restaurants now in London are driven by money men in some way, whether they're big chains or they're owned by private equity. And you know, then decisions get made about where you can cut corners, save money. And fundamentally, restaurants is all about looking after people. That, to me, that's all it is. You look after your team, you look after guests, and hopefully you have a healthy business. And that's what we're all about. It's just, doesn't matter if you come for a coffee and spend £3 or you come and have an incredible dinner and, you know, in a top end bottle of wine and you spend 300, you should get the same level of hospitality.
Well, let's talk about the different roles in your business. I'm particularly interested in understanding what the roles are, what the requirements for the roles are, and how someone might move between roles and basically work their way up the ladder, so to speak. So should we start at the very bottom? Do you have someone who just comes in and cleans?
We do. We have a lovely cleaner who comes in every morning at the different cleaners, different sites. Cleanliness, making the place look beautiful and sparkly, is hugely important. And actually, our front of house team do a lot of cleaning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some businesses have different views on this. I know some restaurants where the front of house staff don't do any cleaning because the business maybe thinks it's below them or they shouldn't be doing the cleaning. I personally think the front of house should be involved in the cleaning, because then you take pride in where you work.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody cleans down at the end of the night, but then the cleaners come in the morning to do a bit more of a deep clean, which you can only do when there's no guests. You know, in the kitchen, the lifeblood of any kitchen is a kitchen porter. And that's not the most glamorous job. That's pots and pans and crockery and cutlery and lots of cleaning in the kitchen. But over the years, you know, we have examples of lots of kitchen porters who have gone on to, you know, I have a pastry chef, a trained pastry chef with us now, who started as a kitchen porter and had no chef experience, but immediately took interest in food and was always asking questions. So she spent time with one of our pastry chefs. We sent her on courses and we helped her grow and develop. I mean, front of house, quite often in a big restaurant like this one, you have what I would call a runner. And they are running trays of food from the kitchen to the restaurant for the waiters to then serve their tables. It's not a very glamorous job, but it's hugely important. And actually, you really have to have your wits about you, because you're communicating with the chefs and you're following the dockets, the order of service, and you are allowing the waiters to focus on the hospitality, so that they don't have to run back to the kitchen to get their food. And every restaurant has a different way of making that work. But for us, a lot of people start as runners because they have no waiting experience. And it's a great way to learn. You learn the interaction between kitchen and front of house. You learn the order of service. And then we take it from there. But I've always said, particularly with front of house, because that's a passion for me, you know, I can teach within reason. I can teach anyone who wants to learn. I can teach them to carry plates. I can teach them to open wine. I can teach them to make martinis. What I can't teach them is hospitality and looking after people.
Mm.
And so we always, and quite often, we recruit people. You need a balance, of course, but we look for personality rather than skills, because we can teach the skills.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've actually interviewed a lot of people with amazing technical skills who I wouldn't hire because I don't think they have that hospitality passion, and I can't teach them that. So, you know, we have people who could maybe start as a runner, do that for a few months. Then we could move them onto the floor as a junior waiter. Then they become a waiter taking care of their whole section. Then they could become a head waiter. Then they could become a floor manager. And there's no reason why they couldn't end up being general manager. When I went to work originally for Rick Stein, age 26, I went down for the summer to Cornwall as a waiter. I had good experience as a waiter, so I got a job as a waiter. Within a few months, I'd been promoted to head waiter. Within 9 months, I'd been promoted to restaurant manager. And just after a year, because of opportunities and because I worked hard and showed my ability, Rick and Jill took a, I say gamble, I think it was, and they made me general manager. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if they hadn't taken that chance on me. That's inspired me in the way I try and develop people, is to look for talent, see how we can nurture it, grow it. Some people just naturally shine, I think, and you think, wow, okay, there's someone we can do things with. And other people, it you know, you have to help it show it. But this industry is, you know, there are amazing opportunities for people. And I think it's, you need to look at everybody's skills and think, okay, where could we take this person?
In terms of your restaurant, because we are a wine show, and I want to talk about food, but we were talking earlier and you said you don't have any sommeliers. So we're a wine show, and normally you think, oh, sommelier, nice fancy restaurant, that type of thing, you'll have a sommelier on board. Why do you not have sommeliers?
And wine is an absolute passion for me. I think it's one of life's great pleasures. I'm fascinated by the whole process of winemaking and how it goes from, you know, a grape to a table in a restaurant. And obviously everything that happens in between. But I love selling wines where I have maybe met the winemaker, know how hard their work is, and that fundamentally they're just farmers. But I love that whole sort of journey. I have had too many negative experiences with sommeliers when I visited restaurants myself. I know there's wonderful sommeliers, but I mean, this is always a good example. I use this for my team. My business partner, Fanny, took to what I consider one of London's great restaurants. And on my recommendation, they went there just while we were working on opening this restaurant, Sam's Riverside. And it was her and five other girls in their 40s who don't go out in London very often and, you know, wanted to spend, but not spend crazy money. And they're sitting in the restaurant and the sommelier comes over. He says, can I help you with the wine, blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, you know, we don't want the house wine. And their house wine was 40 or 45 pounds, which is, I think, quite a lot for house wine. But anyway, and then she said, listen, we'll have something, you know, a little bit lower. And she clearly pointed to the sort of 50, 55 pound mark. And he said, no, you want this. And tried to push them towards a 100 pound bottle of wine. Fanny said, no, we really don't want to spend that sort of much. And just something just below house wine, you know, something a lot, you know, and he went, no. And this time he tried to push her to a 120 pound bottle of wine. And it left a very sour taste with Fanny. And Fanny came back and I already knew that I didn't want to have sommeliers here. And she said, that confirms it. We're going to get everybody on the floor feeling good about wine, confident about wine. And I think we forget that a lot of customers still find wine lists very intimidating.
Mm.
And nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to not be able to pronounce a name, a grape, or know where it's from. And fundamentally, wine is juice in a bottle. And I think there's so much unnecessary pretense, in my opinion. And I want people to come here and have fun. If they want to ask about wine or fancy wines or drink fancy wine, great. If they just want to drink our house wine at £29, great. And I think And I know, as I said, I know there's lots of great sommeliers, but I want to make it more fun than that. And so we have all of our managers would know all the wines. All of our floor team should know and will have tried all the wines by the glass. And we normally have about 15 or 20 wines by the glass at any one time. But if they haven't tried the new expensive New Zealand Pinot, it's absolutely fine for them to say, I'm really sorry, I haven't tried that wine myself, but let me grab somebody who has. Mm-hmm. And it's a style thing as much as anything. And I think it makes it more accessible and less intimidating.
The problem you have with that is that you don't necessarily have someone with deep knowledge if it's required necessarily.
I'd agree with that. And I think there's definitely an argument that maybe we would sell more expensive wines if we did have a focused sommelier. But again, the way I've built this restaurant is that everybody does a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, in the current climate where we all know how tough it is to recruit staff and whatever anyone says, most restaurants are short-staffed on a daily basis. I need everybody else to be doing everything. And that, you know, when I'm working, sometimes I'm doing the door. Sometimes I'm helping run food. Sometimes I'm helping serve wine. And again, I think a lot of sommeliers just want to be sommeliers. I mean, there will always be somebody who has the knowledge, but you're right, they probably don't have the deep depth of knowledge that a sommelier would have. But for me, the balance and the overall team ethos is greater.
I don't want to talk about product excellence or deep product knowledge because, yeah, there's WST and other courses can give you that. I'm more interested in how you would bring someone through. So you've got a runner and ultimately we want them to be the head waiter, for sure. Example. In your business, that means they need to have wine knowledge as well,
yep.
Or beverage knowledge, yep. As well. So cocktails, beers, yep. All that type of thing. So someone turns up, they're enthusiastic, they're bright, they're friendly, they've got great personality, engaging, and they've started out as a runner. How do you train them up to become better or more suitable for the next role?
Well, first of all, I mean, from day one, if they come on as a runner, we would say, listen, just focus on getting that job nailed. Doesn't happen. You know, I think a lot of people want their first promotion within the first week, 2 weeks, month. And I'm a big believer in you've got to do your time. And, you know, you've got to get some miles under your wing, whatever the expression is. You know, we would say focus on being a brilliant runner for 3 months. Nail that. And then let's talk about where you'd like to go, what you'd like to learn, what you'd like to develop. And if we sort of agree that they want to become a head waiter, then we put a development plan and we try and personalize that development plan for different people because everybody is different. To be a head waiter here, you have to be able to, you know, run a section, run the waiters under you, have the wine knowledge, have the food knowledge. You also have to understand our reservation system. You have to understand our till system. You have to be able to print the menus. Our food menus change on a daily basis. So there's quite a lot of skills there. And as we know, some people have better people skills than others. Some people have better IT skills than ever. So we try and focus on which bits of that they might struggle with and then work on that with them. We would give them immediately a sort of a buddy, a senior person to work with them, to sort of be accountable for their development. If somebody really wants the wine knowledge, I mean, we have our own wine Bible. We do a lot of regular, we try wine almost every day as a team in our briefings, but we do bigger wine tastings. We'd send them on the courses. I mean, you could be a head waiter and not have the bar knowledge, but if the head waiter, you know, if they want better for us, that they can do a bit of everything. So we might put them on the bar for a few shifts or get them to spend time with the bar manager. In my ideal world, everybody would have skills, would be cross-trained across sort of all departments, if you like. If someone had the right attitude, within 6 months, I think we could get them runner to head waiter. And if they had the right attitude and wanted to work, and you know, that requires doing some homework as well. And for other people, it might take longer. And that's okay.
And in your organization, like you've got a lot of staff,
yeah,
and all your restaurants are close by, so someone could move between different restaurants if they needed to. But do you have enough churn for someone to say come in as a runner and land up within 6 months as a runner section perhaps?
I don't think it's particularly that we have the turn. It's just because generally I don't think any restaurant in London has been fully staffed post-COVID. And, you know, we're lucky that, touch wood, and I hope it continues, all of our places are very busy. So, yes, I think just naturally people leaving, moving on, there's always roles opening and developing. And also, I wouldn't hold somebody back if they were ready for that development, great. But also, I mean, if you look at my two Sam's Kitchens that we talked about, the two girls who now run those, Evetta, who runs Sam's Kitchen in Hammersmith, started here behind the bar making cocktails. She makes some of the best cocktails I've ever had. Incredible bar person, incredible personality. But she wanted to move into management. So we did some management training with her here in the restaurant as a junior manager. But she's now the manager in charge of that cafe. And it's only a small cafe, but when it's busy, it's very busy. And so that's a really nice first senior manager role for her. Monica, who runs Chiswick, again, started here. And we did management training with her. Now she runs her own site. One of the reasons that last year we opened Waterside in Brentford, which is our second big brasserie, I would only have opened that knowing that we had enough staff from here who wanted to move across so that I wasn't opening with a whole new team. And we had staff here who had been head waiter, head waitress, and they were needing to step up and, you know, they could have waited longer, but we took them with us and they took them on junior management roles. So we had the sort of cornerstones of a team, and likewise with chefs. We took a junior pastry chef from here who became head pastry chef at the new place. So that's, you know, part of the reason for expanding is that otherwise you lose good people. And if you have people who have bought into the way you do things, you can build a team around them.
Yeah. What sort of management training is it? You said you did it in-house. What specifically is that involved? Does that sit down with just one of your team showing them how to do things, or is it more vocational, more academic?
Up until now, it has been spending time with their site general manager. It's spending time with me personally, and that's predominantly on the hospitality side of things. That is dealing with difficult customers, role play, confrontation. One of the things that I think we often forget, running restaurants, I mean, of course, there's the financial side, there's the marketing side, there's the rotoring side, but it all comes back to dealing with people. Age is not really the question, but if you don't have lots of experience, you have to just learn on the job. And, you know, customers are wonderful, but they can also be very tricky and difficult. And if English is not your first language, you don't have that time of experience, the only way to learn is to practice and to go through some difficult situations, to go through a table complaining, and how do you deal with it? How do you turn that situation around? So, you know, how do you manage, you know, on a busy night here, we have 240 people, customers, over the night. And at any one point, we could have 140 guests in the building and 15 front of house and 8, maybe 10 in the kitchen. And you could be responsible for all of that. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is controlling the flow, pacing the evening. When do you sit people early? When do you not sit them early? How do you politely explain to a walk-in that you, although they can see a table empty, you can't actually sit them, which seems illogical, but there's a very logical reason. A lot of the training is that sort of work. Fanny, my business partner, who's more my back of house side, but she'll spend time with people who want to learn more about numbers, P&L, reporting. You know, some people are naturally very good with numbers. A lot of people, depending on where they've worked before, are never exposed to numbers, really, because the numbers are done by somebody else. The numbers are done by head office. And I think one of the reasons that people come and work for the likes of Fanny and I, in the same way that I worked for Rick and Jill Stein, is because you want to learn from an owner. And probably, maybe you do dream about having your own place. I, over the years, have interviewed senior managers of very busy restaurants in London that we all know of, but these restaurants are owned and operated by big companies. And the person who's general manager is not a general manager in my book. They are a glorified head waiter, because when I ran Rick Stein's restaurants as general manager and my general managers, first and foremost, you're doing service. You're looking after your team. You're in charge of reservations. You're in charge of marketing. You're in charge of maintenance. You do your own recruitment. You do your own plumbing if needs be. And that's, to me, what a general manager means. So we have to teach them and provide them all those skills. So we have a sort of in-house plan for that. But alongside that, we also send people on. There are some very nice external hospitality management courses. And that's invaluable, because that's, I think it's very good for people to go off-site. I think it's very good for people to surround themselves and learn from other people in the business, like-minded people. I think it's very good for them to have their eyes opened, see ways or challenge ways that other people are operating. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
Sam, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Okay.
But next week, I want to come back and explore some of those external hospitality courses and management training courses that you've got. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.